RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our southern correspondents are Keith and Tia Sims of SoulfulRVFamily.com. Keith is a retired NFL star and current media commentator for the Miami Dolphins. He and his wife Tia are RV fanatics and spend much of the offseason exploring America in their Newmar Class A. Welcome to the show, Keith and Tia.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
We are doing
so
good.
Love talking to you.
And better now that you're back on the show after your summer vacation hiatus.
I don't think you call that a vacation.
Evan, it was an epic journey,
epic
right?
Road trip.
It certainly epic. Was epic.
Yes. All right. Yes. Last time you were on the show, you reviewed on episode number 32, Stone Mountain Park, which is outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Where are you taking us to this week?
Well, we are going to take you to a park in your neck of the woods, a place where we grew up, the great state, the Garden State, New Jersey, and Timber Lane Campground in Clarksboro, New Jersey.
There's no campgrounds in New Jersey. What are you talking about?
Okay, all right. We can't wait to hear somebody else review a campground in New Jersey. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. You can stay protected with emergency expense, which is automatically included with your RV comp and collision. Progressive will pay for temporary expenses, transportation, and towing if your RV is damaged more than 50 miles from your home. Say in New Jersey if you're from Georgia, right, guys? Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info. All right, let's go to Timber Lane Campground.
Get us situated geographically. Let our listeners know where this is in the great state of New Jersey.
I would say it's southwestern New Jersey, and it's absolutely positively the closest campground. If you're interested, like we were, in visiting the Philadelphia area, this is the campground for you. It's less than 15 miles outside of Philadelphia, right off, conveniently located right off to Interstate 295 in Clarksboro, New Jersey. Very, very quaint. Not too large of a campground, but it's perfect if you want to explore the Philadelphia area.
I want to back you up on that, too, because we like a campground called the Philadelphia Westchester KOA, which happens to be about 45 to 50 minutes away from Philadelphia. So I really do think this is as close as you can get to Philly, and I'm excited to hear about this one because it sounds like you liked it.
We actually did it, and this is one of those campgrounds, and you have to decide. We all have our criteria for what makes a campground perfect for our family, and that differs from family to family. But to me, this one is all about location, location, location. You've got a ShopRite supermarket less than 2 miles from the campground if you need any supplies. You are literally on the Walt Whitman Bridge within 15 minutes of pulling out of the campground. So for us, we spent over a week there this summer as part of our epic 75-day summer trip and really enjoyed the fact that we could get in and out of Philly very easily.
I think what you're suggesting, and I think that we, Stephanie and I really agree with you on this, is that when you get that kind of proximity to a city you can't also be expecting the sun, the moon, and the stars and a beautiful wooded campground with amazing amenities. It's like you have to give to get when it comes to a location like that.
Yeah, we completely agree on that, because the closer you get to a city, the like you said, the less amenities you're going to have. Now, this campground did have plenty of amenities for all the people that stayed there, but I would say it's a little bit on the older side. People were very nice, but the Westchester KOA that you mentioned in a place we would like to stay at some point because your review was so glowing, I'm sure you would have more amenities there than you experienced in Timberlane.
All right. But at the same time, I want to say, like, you know, a lot of the time when we're talking about base camps, right, outside of city or urban environments, like Carrie Cox reviewed a San Francisco campground right outside of San Francisco, we're talking about parking lots, right, a place to park your rig. However, this seems like it actually has a little more grass and some trees around it and everything, right? So why don't you tell us a little bit about the actual sites themselves?
Okay, well, there's 104 sites at Timberlane Campground, and most of them are pull-through. The bigger pull-throughs are in the back, and there's some back-ends. There's tent sites. There's cabins. They've got a very nice fishing pond. Walked around it with the kids. Didn't actually fish there, but there's a little island you can go there. They have a swimming pool. They have a game room, laundromat. They have a little camp store. They have an average little playground and a pavilion where you can play inside in a game room. So whereas a place like Liberty Harbor, which is outside Manhattan, which is literally a parking lot and has none of these amenities, this campground, Timberlane, has things you can enjoy yourself at the campground while you're using it as a base camp.
Right. So you can come back at the end of a long day in Philadelphia and still fish a little with the kids, which is a nice kind of combination there.
Yeah, you could even see white-tailed deer there, wild turkey there, because it is a very wooded campground, particularly toward the back side of the campground.
All right, so what about booking and pricing? Did you guys have to book this far in advance, or is this kind of one of those places that we could decide to stop, over on our way through the area?
Well, this is one of those campgrounds, due to the location, I highly, highly recommend you call ahead and you book reservations, because there are a lot of seasonal RVers that stay there, and because of its proximity to Philadelphia, it books up very quickly. We booked this in advance, and about a week or two before we actually got there, I wanted to change some dates, and they were sold out, and this is in June. So you can only imagine around holiday time how far in advance you have to book this campground.
Okay, that's very good advice then. And what about the prices? What should we be expecting to pay? What's the variety of pricing here?
Well, the pricing is actually very, very reasonable, except they have what we like to call the kids tax. The pricing for a full hookup site typically runs between that $49 and $52 a night, but that's only for two people. So when you add kids on, like you guys, like we have, that's they add additional $5 per child on it. So that adds to the price. And that, in a way, for me, is a little bit frustrating. But I guess I understand campgrounds got to figure out their revenue any way they
be. I got to side with you on that one, though. I mean, I don't know. I would think give you at least the first two kids before they start hitting you with that fee. I mean, to not include any kids in the price.
And I have to say, in my opinion, the only time I defend the kids tax is when there are resort-like amenities at a campground. You know, those things that are going to be high usage by kids, and you don't want somebody showing up with the entire youth group in their RV, having all the kids use it. I get that. But in this case, I agree with you. I'm going to say thumbs down on the kids
tax. I mean,
if
you have 4 or 5 kids, you're looking at $75 a night, I guess, which that's a higher end price. So anyway,
I think it goes back to that location. You're paying for the proximity to Philadelphia. And even with the kid tax, I mean, it's the base price is still rather reasonable, that it doesn't get outrageous. It was okay.
All right. Now, what about the sites themselves? Are these all pull-throughs? You know, is there a big variety of sites? Do people really have to kind of pick and choose and look at the campground map when they're deciding where they want to stay here?
Well, based on your recommendations, we kind of follow you guys and kind of really look at the campground. And we had sites, I think, 68 and 69, which is the second row right behind the bathhouse, pull-through, which was fine. But as we drove through, if you could get site number 61 or 62, it's a pull-through site right on the corner, as long as you don't mind a little traffic, but you've got a perfect unobstructed view of the lake. So the ambiance is just a little bit nicer, and it seems like it's a little bit wider. In a couple of the middle rows, it seemed like it was a little bit tighter. In fact, we felt a little bit squeezed with our awning. It was really nice having Tia's mother traveling with us in her RV, so we had two RVs next to each other, so we didn't feel like we were infringing on somebody else's site.
But you might have if it was somebody else there.
You might have been looking right at somebody's sewer hookups.
Absolutely. That's what I was just about to say. We were right up on our neighbor's sewer hookups. And when you have kids, it's the last thing you want is your kids playing around the sewer hookups. Ugh. So that was my only gripe with our spot.
Yeah, we didn't spend that much time in a campground. The kids did when they got up in the morning. They did want to ride their bikes because the inner roads are paved, even though the sites are gravel, which was nice to let them kind of go, and you could still see them there. But it did feel a little bit of a tight squeeze. They did say big rigs, if you want to use the back of the campground, there's back-end sites, and they are certainly longer and wider and a little more secluded. But we prefer the pull-throughs because we were on such a long trip.
Let me ask you, what's the swimming like in terms of the lake and the pool? Is it like kind of like a nice lake, but not necessarily a swimming lake? And if so, was the pool nice for swimming?
Well, the lake is a fishing pond, not necessarily a lake, and it's not for swimming, only for fishing, catch and release. I wanted to take the kids, but we didn't get a chance to. The pool took the kids over, but at that time of year, unfortunately, it wasn't heated, and it hadn't turned really warm yet in that part of New Jersey, so the pool water was ice cold to us, so we kind of didn't go in. But it seemed
the
like a nice
pool. The kids probably would have been fine with it.
Yeah,
but
the kids would have been fine.
Yeah.
All right, Keith and Tia, so any insider details that our listeners need to really enjoy their stay here?
Well, number one is book early, because if you want a prime site, you're going to have to book early. Number two is those sites 61 to 63 are absolutely the best site. 61 is the prime site there because you get that extra space because it's a corner site. And never, ever forget to ask for your discount, Good Sam or Military. They do give those discounts.
Excellent. Now, you've already kind of made it clear this isn't a perfect campground, even though the proximity is really good. But, you know, nobody's perfect. So what could they do to improve the campground a little bit within reason?
That's a really good question, because I think when we went there, our expectations were reasonable for this campground because we put location number one. But with kids, and again, we're parents, the playground was really probably subpar for what they could have done. They could clean that up a little bit, maybe modernize the playground a little bit. Was there anything else that you had, honey?
That's exactly what I was going to say. The playground, our kids definitely look forward to hitting the playground when they can. If it's not the playground, it's riding their bikes. So,
and when you're spending that extra $5 per kid, it really makes you want that better playground.
Absolutely.
I think. Okay, you guys are so good though. You're used to you do urban travel, you know, and it's almost like that Liberty Harbor experience has just made you realize, okay, if we can get close to a city, we're not going to be too picky here.
That's right. It's all about the location and proximity to where you want to go.
This was a campground that I went for a couple walks while we were there. I did about a 2 or 3 mile walk, so I left the campground and walked in. But so it was nice. It's just like you said, its location was number one thing about this place.
Now, okay, so as you've been doing this review, and obviously, you know, I've grown up my whole life pretty close to Philadelphia, and I actually went to graduate school there, so I love the city itself.
But, UPenn.
All right. So, but, so,
I like
but
that.
I'm thinking that, first of all, I love Philadelphia in the spring and the fall. And you're talking about here, I see, you know, you were telling us before that they have like a lounge with a TV and a fireplace, and Keith's talking about going for walks in this area. It's sounding to me like it might be a really nice fall, like long weekend getaway, or a spring long weekend getaway to visit the city during that time.
Absolutely. I think that would be a wonderful place to stop in for a nice fall getaway right before you have to put your RVs away up north.
Yeah. That's what I'm picturing.
Don't talk about that yet.
I'm sorry.
We're not emotionally ready.
You people up north.
right.
We certainly, when we go back to Philadelphia, this will definitely be our base camp because of, again, how close it is to the city and where we want to go. And Tia will speak about all the places that we enjoyed while we were there.
Yeah, and we are going to do that in a couple of minutes. So thank you so much for that great review of this campground. I definitely think if you guys are there the next time, we're going to join you there and experience this base camp. But we're going to be back in a minute to talk all about the things that you guys recommend doing in the great, wonderful, beautiful neighborhood city of Philadelphia. Stay tuned.
Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. From the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Bontrager's farm in 1968 to today, when Jayco, now the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is building everything from camping trailers up to gas Class A motorhomes.
With a blend of old-world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with more standard features and the best 2-year warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website at jayco.com or your closest Jayco dealer for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Keith and Tia Sims of Soulful RV Family, and they just gave us a great review of Timberlane Campground right outside of Philadelphia. And now they're going to take us into Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And we're going to end this conversation with a cheesesteak together. But first, why don't we do some activities? Why don't you guys tell us what your favorite things were that you did in Philly?
I have to tell you, I had a hard time narrowing this down to be able to fit into our segment. So I'm going to start off with about three just kind of general.
Go for mentions. It. If you forget something, I'll jump in and add something that I enjoy.
Okay. All right. So obviously, if you're going into Philly, especially from Clarksboro, you need to make sure you bring your toll money. That is one thing that really shocked us, because down here in the South, we have just become unaccustomed to toll roads. So we really got, you know, a rude awakening when it came to the tolls, because I think I came across the bridge one time and we're scrambling for like coins in the bottom of my truck. So that was one thing.
You can go broke paying tolls in New Jersey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So once we get over into Philly, we would be remiss if we didn't go see the Liberty Bell, which
I had to do that.
Yeah. Our kids have seen it a couple of times, but I tell you, every time we go over, we're going to go and see that Liberty Bell and get our education in Independence Hall, obviously. And there was one shocker over there. We didn't expect to find this, but it was the Underground Railroad Museum. And this is an actual house that was a stop on the Underground Railroad.
That is so cool. I mean, we've been into Philly so many times, and I've never heard of that. So I'm excited to check it out.
We found it by accident, just flipping open Groupon. One of the things we do when we're traveling or on the road, we flip open Groupon.
Always.
And it popped up, and I said, hey, you know what? For a couple bucks, let's go check it out. Our expectations were so low, and it happened to be pouring rain, but it was kind of up on the hill in Philadelphia. By the Belmont Mansion, and you had a great view, and we learned and had a phenomenal couple hours there.
Yes. Now, is it a guided tour or a self-guided tour there?
Well, we were the only ones there, so I don't know if it's normally guided, but we had our own guide.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They ushered us in out of the rain. They started us off with a little
couple videos.
Video, one for the kids, which was really good. It kind of pulled the kids into the whole thing, and then we toured the home. And that was interesting in and of itself, with all the secret entrances and back stairwells. And
yeah, that's so cool just to think that that was really used along the way. And then I'm a teacher. I can't help thinking this way. Also, the juxtaposition of doing Liberty Hall and then doing a stop on the Underground Railroad. I mean, there's just so many layers to think about there. And I know you're road schooling the kids too, so there must have been an awful lot to talk about.
Listen, and I hate to wish my kids' childhood away, but I was just with, you know, oh, I wish you were like 5 years older where we could really have an in-depth conversation about this. But
yeah, yes. And I mean, even, you know, with our 7-year-old, we just found out this last summer that things like that really resonate in the way that they start asking questions and they don't stop asking questions for months afterwards. So the experience is once they get to that 7 and 8, and I was a third grade teacher, a fourth grade teacher, so I know that that's such a critical time where if you plant those seeds, they might not get it then, but they're going to remember that experience and then it's going to grow in their mind, you know, as they get older.
Exactly.
All right. So now we got a solid dose of history. Where are you taking to us? Where are you taking us to next? Or more history or something else?
We're going to do a little more history. We were not only traveling with our kids, but we were also traveling with another family. And they had teenagers, and we also had my nephew who was a teenager. So we had to do something that kind of was fun for them too. So we went to the Franklin Institute, which I actually didn't know what to expect. I'd never been there before, and all of my going back and forth to Philly visiting family in all the years. But the Franklin Institute, they absolutely ate it up. They loved it. The planetarium, they have the Ben Franklin Memorial statue in there. And what my kids really loved, because they love the human body, is the giant heart. They have a giant heart in there that the kids can actually climb through all the ventricles and everything concerning the heart. And my kids were actually naming all the different parts of the heart. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. The heart is epic. I think I went through it for the first time when I was like 5 years old.
I totally remember the heart. That's one of the
things. It's been there that long?
And it's been redone a few times. Like they shut down the heart for a while and they redo it. But I've been through the heart countless times on countless class trips. And then the pendulum, right? Like so you have the heart and the pendulum that you watch go back and forth. And those are two classic Franklin Institute experiences.
Did the older kids really particularly like it here because of things are so hands-on? Was that part of the appeal?
Yes, they loved it, especially the train factory portion of it. They loved those steam engines and climbing up on the trains and kind of checking that out. That was very good for them.
Even like the waterworks, when we went in the basement part, when I skipped outside for a little bit in the basement part, they really enjoyed that. I know you guys got into that shooting water guns at each other.
Yeah, you'd find ways to disappear.
I was exploring.
No, it's a fun place. And, you know, that's another place you mentioned Groupon, and that's such a good travel tip. And that's also something that does pop up on Groupon every once in a while. So if people are looking, you know, to visit there, they should check that out.
Well, so, we used our American Science, Children's Science Museum membership.
Yes. Have all those memberships.
You guys are burning a hole in that thing.
Yeah.
That card's about to light on fire.
Listen, it has paid for itself like 4 times over.
At least on that summer trip. We used it from Atlanta all the way up. We used it in Maine when we were up there. So yeah. We used it every state we stopped at.
I love it. Yeah, and I have to – I even just said I need to broadcast that more to our listeners. I know I've mentioned that you guys do that so many times and I've talked about memberships, but there's probably people that haven't gotten the point yet, and we should like hammer that home as a serious traveler's tip, you know, if you're going to certain areas of our country. So what else did you do?
Well, let alone we went to the Franklin Institute twice, we also went to the Please Touch Museum, which is excellent for kids ages 1 to 7 years old. There's nothing that's off limits for kids there. They can touch absolutely everything, which is a parent's dream, because I'm constantly telling my kids, don't do that. Stop running. Don't touch. Here, they can touch absolutely everything.
They had the coolest replica of the arm of the Statue of Liberty made out of toys and luggage. It was eclectic.
40
it was
feet
incredible.
Tall with the arm and the torch, and the kids, they were able to climb up onto it. We were taking pictures and everything. So yeah, that was real interesting.
Now you headed out of the city for some more kid fun at Sesame Place, right?
Yes, we did. We went out to Sesame. And did you get a Groupon for that as well?
No, and this is where being in a group also helps. You've got to sometimes figure out what's the best deal for you. So we ended up buying group tickets. You had to buy 10 tickets. Or maybe it was 12 tickets. We had a group of 10. So we actually got 2 or 3 extra tickets. And it was a pass to come back for an additional 2 or 3 times. But the cost was cheaper than just buying individual one-day passes. So do your homework, people. When you're out there trying to figure out how to save money, there's lots of ways to do it.
Yeah, we ended up gifting and handing out the extras.
The extra passes to people at the gate.
Oh, so you were charitable, too. That's nice.
It's a tax write-off, I think.
We all can save money. We save, you save, we all save.
Right.
What did you think of Sesame Place?
Sesame Place. Oh, gosh. Listen, I've watched so much Sesame Street in the past 7 years. Sesame Place was a bit of an overload for me. But the kids absolutely loved it. They enjoyed their time. So as long as they're happy, I'm happy.
It was about a 45-minute, maybe 50-minute ride from the campground. But it was still nice. You know, when you're going there, you've got to factor in Philadelphia traffic, particularly on the way back. So we waited till traffic subsided going in the morning. And we got out of there early enough in the afternoon where we didn't hit traffic on the way back.
All right. So before we move on to filling our bellies with all that good Philly food, is there anything else we have to talk about?
I'm ready to talk about food.
I know.
I'm
like,
that was a huge part of this trip, too. I mean, all the great places we ate. And I just have to be honest with you. We don't get Rita's water ice much down here. So I think we actually hit 3 or 4 different Ritas while we were in Philadelphia and another one in New Jersey.
And you would always bring back pints to the RV.
Oh, yeah. I had probably 3 or 4 quarts in the freezer in the RV.
Always good to have reserve.
You never know when you're getting another Ritas.
Oh, yeah, I know. We
it's hot. You were there in the summertime.
We have one on our corner.
can't blame a man for having extra.
Oh, lucky you.
No need to rub it in.
I'm sorry. Okay. So you had the water ice. It's a staple. You have to do it. Rita's is a good choice. We always bring pints. Like you said, we bring quarts, actually, to our friends' houses when we go over. That's a staple around here in New Jersey. What else did you eat?
Philadelphia. Well,
yes. And of course, the first stop was my aunt's house because she's the best cook in the world. But now everyone stops over in Philly and hits Pat's and Gino's, right?
You know, cheesesteaks.
I'm not doing it.
Well, she had the idea that she wanted to really introduce the kids to what a true Philadelphia cheesesteak was. So we couldn't just go to one place.
We had to
go to 2 or 3. And all of a sudden, now we got to do a review on different cheesesteaks. So we stopped by Pat's and Gino's, but then we went to her go-to place.
Yes.
Which was?
Yes. Larry's Steaks. This is the home of the belly filler. And if you haven't seen a belly filler, your eyes will pop out
belly
of your head.
Belly buster, not belly filler. Oh, my goodness.
This thing, I swear to goodness, you're talking about, what, a foot long?
It's foot probably and a half 2 feet. Yeah, it's 2 feet long.
Yeah, yeah. And it's full of steak. It is, it's one of those neighborhood spots. Now, they have 3 locations in Philly, but it's the traditional cheesesteak. It's great. It's around the way type food that, you know, my aunt would have taken me for any summer that I would have hung out in Philly.
Right. So I've had Pat's and I've had Gino's, but I have not. I don't think I've had Larry's.
No, I would remember.
Yeah.
I would have eaten the whole thing and I would have remembered.
Your belly would have busted.
But now when we go back, we have a goal.
We have a dream.
So did they, and I think I remember asking you this when you were there, like you don't do with Wiz, right? Or with Wiz.
Ew, she's
not a Wiz person.
Okay. That's okay. I'm not necessarily either. I mean, I like to mix it up.
There are two camps and usually you stick to that one camp.
So you are not with Wiz. No, so for our listeners, tell them what they need to order, like what their choices are when they're ordering a Philly cheesesteak.
And now typically I don't stray off to the odd stuff. Now I stick with my cheese, my provolone, my steak, onions, and green peppers. I might add some mushrooms, but I never ever let it touch ketchup. I feel like that's sacrilege.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, Tia. So
Stephanie just quietly said amen.
Amen, yeah. So, So for our listeners, if you order a cheesesteak at Philly and they say, wit whiz, okay, you're deciding whether you're going to get, you know, cheese whiz.
Cheese whiz, yeah.
On your cheesesteak.
Would you say that most people do the whiz or most people do without? I mean, do you have a sense of
that? I think most people do with because they feel pressured, right, Tia?
Yeah. Especially at Pat and Gino's because it's just, especially people who don't know it, they just go with the whiz.
Right. It's the way to go. But Tia's saying to you all out there in listener land, it's okay if you don't do it. It's okay. You can do your provolone.
Exactly. Don't feel pressured. Don't feel pressured to go with that.
All right.
And the meat is, and the steak is probably so good. That's why you're saying you don't need the ketchup, really. Where if it's not good steak, you need the ketchup.
You lose the flavor. Right. When you douse your, because I'm with Tia, I do onions and peppers too, right, on my cheesesteak. When you just douse that in ketchup, you lose the flavor. Like, exactly. You just cover it up with that sweet taste. And who wants that? You want to taste the steak and the cheese and the peppers and the onions. That's the real flavor.
Exactly. If you're going to do that, just go get yourself a hamburger and go home.
I see it. I see you on this too. We're on the same page. I'm glad we had this talk.
What did the kids think about a real Philly cheesesteak? I mean, were they like really impressed by it, or did they kind of like not get it?
They didn't get it. And I was so disappointed that they didn't get it.
Well, Larry's. Well, here's the difference. Here's the interesting thing. I'll tell you a story. Tia has loved Larry's and talked about it so much. I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Oh,
I told Tia, I'm taking care of Thanksgiving dinner. So you know what I did. I went to Rolodex. I found the number. I told her I bought his turkey and I was going to fry a turkey, which I did buy. I didn't end up frying.
I was so concerned because on Thanksgiving, there's no turkey cooking. And I'm like, what are you
doing?
What's
going on?
But what I had done is I called Larry's and had them ship me Philly cheesesteaks on dry ice. So I rolled those out as a special Thanksgiving dinner. So we had an untraditional one. So Larry's has been, when I say has been,
ever.
Number one on her list. That was until this trip.
Yeah.
And we found a place that we thought Larry's was good. Uh-huh. This place was incredible. We went back two or three times and got stuff to go when we were getting ready to leave Philadelphia.
All right, spill the beans.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
I know, we're sitting here.
I'm like on the edge of my seat.
Now, we found this new place. It's more of like a gourmet cheesesteak, if you can picture that. It's called Cleaver's. Now, it's located in Center City, Philly. So it's open 7 days a week. They have over a dozen varieties of cheesesteak between your steak, your chicken, and your veggie cheesesteak, which...
I don't know why you would get a veggie cheesesteak.
Try that. I can't vouch for that. But it was... I can't even explain the flavor on them. You're talking about good meat. The flavor on this meat was phenomenal. They also, and they've got some sides in this place that will blow your socks
away. Jeremy, I got the Philadelphia cheese.
Hold on.
Okay, so.
Hold on.
Sit down, Keith.
He can taste it. I understand.
If you are on a diet, let's say.
Don't go there.
And you just want to skip the bread, they have a menu item called steak fries. They will give you this nice bed of French fries and your cheesesteak filling on top of the fries. When I tell you I had died and gone to heaven, that was the meal that my kids were like, oh, this is good. They didn't want to do the cheesesteak so much. It was the steak fries that they loved.
Fair enough. Good taste. We salute them.
It was incredible because the juices were on top of the French fry.
Cheese was melting down.
Because I ordered that, and then I ordered a cheesesteak. I was like, just take that to go because the steak fries were just filling it up.
Yeah, because you can't warm up fries.
This is almost like inappropriate. Like the way you're describing
they
this
always
food.
Do. Yeah, Keith and Tia always get nice and special about their food.
Food is very important in my life. So,
well, I am very excited to have new cheesesteak places.
And we've
to
been
experience.
Talking about taking the kids into Philly.
We have. We were actually saying we were talking last week and we said, when are we going to take them in? Because we love the Constitution Center and the boys haven't been there yet. And that's a really special place. That's a relatively newer place in Philadelphia, but I think they've done a nice job at it. So we've been saying, we got to go. So now I know we're going to have some new choices for food, and I'm very excited about that.
If you guys hit Cleaver's, definitely give us a call and let us know what you thought.
Oh, we will put you on speakerphone at Cleaver's.
Now,
okay?
Just do a Facebook Live.
Yeah, there you go. That's
your picture's up on the wall there framed, right?
It should be because we went there multiple times. In fact, the last time I went in there, the guy recognized me. He's like, hey, are you guys still in town? When are you leaving?
It was so bad.
You're like,
I had to drop
not.
Her off.
Right.
And I had to circle the block because it's hard to get parking. So I kept circling while she was getting the order. She jumped back in the car and we left.
We need a cheesesteak place for like a sponsor of the podcast. And we could they could just give us cheesesteak.
I know. And be like, look, we'll taste cheesesteaks every week when we record our podcast.
All right, did we cover our food options with you guys?
Yeah, there's no need to go any further.
Yeah,
we went to a couple diners, which was nice because we were in Jersey. We had to hit a Jersey diner, but the Cleaver's was the winner. hands down.
So the moral of the story is Rita's for dinner and cheese stick for dessert. That's what I'm hearing.
There you go.
And I tell you, every time we went to get cheesesteak, we had Rita's afterwards.
Oh, well, thank you guys so much. It's so nice to hear about our home, like, stomping grounds through the eyes of visitors. And of course, you guys are, you know, old locals here, so you know how to do it right. But it's always nice to hear our own area talked about by somebody else besides us. So thank you
so
much.
And so lovingly, too.
Yes.
I mean, we love Philadelphia. My goodness. We really do.
Yeah. We have a really, we really, it has a special place in our hearts. So thank you for that wonderful review of Timberlane Campground, which is in Clarksboro, New Jersey, and is the closest campground to Philadelphia if you're visiting that area. We really appreciate having good base camps around urban areas to explore. And thank you also to Progressive Insurance. They've got another RV travel tip for you. Check with your insurance company to see if your pets are covered in case of an accident. Progressive's pet injury coverage protects your dogs and cats if they're in your vehicle and injured in an accident. It's free if you have collision coverage on your RV policy. Visit progressive.com. for more information.
And a big thank you to Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com. They have all their 2017 models up on the website if you're RV shopping. And a big thank you to Keith and Tia. Where can we find you guys out there on the World Wide Web?
Well, you've got soulfulrvfamily.com is our blog, and of course on Facebook, Instagram,
and Pinterest.
Are you pinning away, Tia?
You know what? I honestly have fallen off on pinning, but I'm going to get back into it.
All right. Well, we'll finish this interview and you can go pin some things and then people can go over there and follow you on Pinterest and see what you got.
Good advice.
All right. And you guys, we will really officially see you at this campground sometime in the future. Okay. It's a date.
And we'll also see
it. Looking forward
to it. Absolutely a date.
We'll see at the Florida RV Super
we
Show
will.
Too. Let's be honest about that.
Ooh. All right.
All right.
We'll
thank you so
soon.
Much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.